Now on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
It's been like a dream month so far. I have an excitement about coming down Jets Drive, and it was surreal for sure, and strange to look at my locker and see a number 8 or to, you know, be rocking Jets gear. It's a little bit strange for sure, but every day there's been something that's kind of been a little special sign or synchronicity or just a cool moment that reminds me I'm in the right place.
We were top 3-4 offense in the league last year, and it wasn't good enough. So losing the playoffs isn't fun. I so badly want to bring a Super Bowl here to Buffalo, and I just don't want anything to get in the way of allowing me to be the best quarterback that I can be for this team.
I mean, just being able to throw the ball down the field. You know, we sometimes can't. Running can only take you so far, you know, and I feel like with this new era of teams and offenses in the league, I feel like we need that. And Coach Todd Monken, what I'm seeing his offense so far is looking tremendous.
My opportunity is just to come in and compete, and that's all I wanted. So for me, I don't want to take anything away from Brock, and no one should be able to take anything away from Brock. He did what he did last year, and he deserves all the credit in the world for it. Like I said, for me, I just wanted an opportunity to compete.
No, I've been able to do a lot of stuff. Obviously, we went to like the Met Gala and the Formula One and the Kentucky Derby, stuff that I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to go to the Kentucky Derby, but I wanted to win the Super Bowl before I went. And obviously, the last one, we had COVID that canceled that. So I was glad that we were able to experience that. It was an awesome race. And it's just picking and choosing what you can do. And then now we're back in football, so you're kind of really locking down and getting your body back in the right spot. But I have a few more trips, but nothing too major. I've kind of settled down for the rest of the offseason.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. See if we could play guess the quarterback here. Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Trey Lance, and Patrick Mahomes.
I didn't know if you were going to get the Trey Lance one or not.
Who are you talking to?
I know. Yeah. There are some keywords in there to help out.
I listen. The Easter eggs were all there. You said to find them. You know?
Notice I had to put Nate's favorite first.
I know. I'm already tired of it. I'm already over it. I'm just going to let you know that now. The fatigue has already reached.
We got Rodgers fatigue.
Max level. Like, I don't care, man. There's going to be a. I can't wait for the Chiefs to play the Jets.
Oh man!
And I hope they get them in the playoffs. I don't think the Jets will be there, but I hope so. They may. Hey, maybe they will be there for the Chiefs to beat. That would be
first
fun.
Round game.
It's hard to do that when you got the first.
I mean, first round. The Chiefs. What do they call it? The division round. Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I don't think they'll be there for the Chiefs to beat. So.
Ah.
You want them more than Miami?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I don't like Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I don't like Aaron Rodgers.
Miami, you might get the Tyreek coming home to Arrowhead,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you know what? I don't.
I mean, that was kind of the hype playoff game last offseason, right?
I have no heart. See, to me, that game, the reason why I wanted to go see that game at Arrowhead, because I think that would be such a highly entertaining game. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have any hard feelings towards Tyreek Hill.
Right.
I'm good with everything that happened. I was good when it happened. I wasn't mad about the trade because it was best for him and it was best for the Chiefs. I had a hard time convincing people it was best for the Chiefs. I remember, I don't think he'll mind. I don't know if he's listening this early. But one of my best friends, the Cooch, you know the Cooch.
The Cooch, yeah.
And that's one of the guys I used to go to Chiefs games with back when, I mean, you know, back in the day. Back, how old am I? 30 years ago. You know? His dad used to have season tickets, and he was nice enough every season to take me to a game or two. You know? That's why he's still, he's been my friend since third grade, right? And so, and we always bonded over the Chiefs and watching the Chiefs, even when the Chiefs weren't very good. And he contacted me in a panic after this Tyreek Hill trade. And I talked to him for about 10 or 15 minutes, a nice long text to say, it's okay. This is why it's going to work out. And this is that they're going to be able to direct a lot of these resources, whether it's draft picks or salary cap space, to rejuvenating the defense. All the things we talked about. You believed it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't mean we were right, but that's what we believed. We saw the, you know, we understood the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they went out and knocked it out of the park with those draft picks, right?
Long fly ball, way out of the park.
Everything they did turned out very well.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Tyreek Hill went down there and got paid like he wanted to and put up numbers like he wanted to. The only thing that didn't go great for him was the postseason success. And look, that they probably it would have been better had their quarterback not been hurt, but who knows? AFC's tough, man. You could be a really good team and not win a playoff game. And that's going to happen this year. There's going to be good teams. And I don't think the Jets are going to be terrible. I think the Jets are going to be good. They're going to be vastly improved. How could they not be? Aaron Rodgers is a much, much, much better quarterback than anything they rolled out there. But they could still be a really good team, an improved team, a 10 or 11 team, a win team, and get knocked out in their first playoff game because the AFC stacked. The AFC is stacked. Let's listen to who we're, the guys we're listening right there. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Josh Allen and the Bills, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and all the weapons they put around him. They ain't no joke. And oh, Patrick Mahomes. Oh, Joe Burrow. I mean, look, that it's just we take it for granted that the Chiefs have never had that under Mahomes in the playoffs, a one and done. You know, the worst that we've seen from Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs is losing in overtime in the AFC Championship game. That's been his worst outing in the postseason. That's been the big flop, losing in overtime twice in the AFC Championship game. And it's amazing. And anyone that's been a Chiefs fan for several decades, like we have, and went through the pomp and circumstance of being the number one seed and then going to the playoffs and getting your heart crushed in your first game, you understand that. There's just no guarantee in the NFL, man. Even for really, really good teams and great quarterbacks and elite quarterbacks. I hate to say it, and maybe I'll be wrong, but one of these years there's going to be a flop in the playoffs with the Chiefs. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe there won't be. Maybe it's in 6 or 7 years. Maybe. I just said maybe. Who knows? And when that time comes, we'll deal with it, you know? But, like, what's a flop in the playoffs based on expectations? Getting your ass handed to you at home in the divisional round like the Bills did? I want to see if their franchise or that team recovers from that. You know, what's a flop in the playoffs like we saw in the 90s? Being the number one seed and not getting a win.
Yeah.
That's a big flop. Chiefs haven't come close to doing that. And maybe they just never do. I mean, look, there were years where Brady and the Patriots flopped in the playoffs. We don't focus on that because we talk about all the championships. It happens. It hasn't happened with Mahomes and the Chiefs, and maybe it doesn't happen. I don't know. But it might someday. And when it does, we'll see that, oh, this sucks.
You know what I'm smiling at?
What?
We don't even talk about not making the playoffs. No. You know, it's a flop in the playoffs. Like that's the basement when you got Mahomes a quarterback.
You had Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes during the playoffs.
Right. Isn't that crazy? If you were just taking it for granted.
Here's the deal.
Yeah, we're just in. You know?
By the way, I'll even remove Mahomes from the situation. If you've got Andy Reid,
amen,
you're most likely in the playoffs.
What, all but 1 year since he's been here, and even that year he had a winning record?
Okay. So, you know, if Andy Reid's your coach, half your homework is done. Okay, just...
But there was a time when making the playoffs was no sure thing. But well, that's just... We just, yeah. We're flopping in the playoffs.
Right. No, they're in the playoffs. They every year you check that roster, and if it's Andy Reid a coach and Mahomes a quarterback, they're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But just listen to those quarterbacks and talking about those teams. There's going to be in the AFC some really good quarterbacks and good teams that just don't do nothing in the postseason because they all can't win.
Right.
You know, there have been a lot of teams. I mean, I just think about Buffalo. I got questions about Buffalo that had to rattle their cage. They had to question everything.
Yep.
You know, because it's a real hard sell for them to say, "Well, you know what? We're better than Cincinnati." Like, I don't think you are. Let's revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Chiefs at least got that monkey off their back and beat Cincinnati. And the Chiefs have championships and Super Bowl appearances. Buffalo's still trying to knock that door down.
Yeah.
And so I'm very curious to see not only how they respond to what happened in the playoffs last year, but how they respond to their division beefing up and bulking up with the Dolphins and what they are now with what the Jets are. That's going to be, you know, hey, look, the division tried to do that to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs laughed at them last year. With all the talk in the office, this AFC West, man, oh, man, this is one of the best divisions I've ever seen. Like, no, it's not. The Chiefs dominated the division, and it was a laugher. Now, I do feel like this is the Jets and the Dolphins both pose tremendous challenges to the Bills. Are they up for it? They could be. Josh Allen's a great quarterback. They have a lot of tremendously talented players. But man, it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back from that loss in the playoffs and how they respond to an even tougher division. I'm expecting more from the Ravens, I think, than most people.
And you never should count the Ravens out.
They have a great coach. Their defense. I mean, I think Roquan Smith and the Ravens were a match made in heaven. And you saw what their defense became.
Yep.
They gave Cincinnati all they wanted with a backup quarterback, with Tyler Huntley, quarterback, in the postseason. They went out and they've given Lamar Jackson multiple weapons. Ravens, I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but I could see them winning a playoff game or two, or just being a hell of a team. But one of those teams that's really good, that just it's going to be amazing. I'm just thinking about it. Think about all the good quarterbacks we just talked about in the AFC.
Haven't even mentioned Herbert.
Well, you got, I mean, you know. Yeah. He isn't really, this is a term that is a painful term to some people. He is really not pee to drop. For him to be mentioned. All those other guys have playoff wins under the belt.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Lamar gets criticized he's got a playoff win under his belt.
Yep.
You know, that was, you want to talk, no, nobody talks about that either. You want to talk about the Bills and how they bounce back from what happened in the playoffs. How did the Chargers bounce back from that?
Yeah.
I still think that that Staley, I think their head coach is still on shaky ground.
He should be.
You know, so we'll see, whatever.
But yes, you wouldn't rule out Herbert yet, would you? At 25, I mean, he's second leading passer in the league last year.
Right.
It's just a stat, but
no, I think he's really good.
He's got the physical tools anyway.
I think there's some issues with that franchise.
Yep.
But no, that's a team that could go to the playoffs.
My point is just being like, how talented of a quarterback is that? If he was in the NFC,
right?
What would we be saying about him? But he's got, there's so many other quarterbacks. We don't even mention him yet.
Right. Well, the team that beat him who I think is a better, who I think is a better bet than the Chargers to make noise, is they did last year, the Jags.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. What's he going to be now this year? And you talk about what they gained from having one of the best comebacks in NFL playoff history against the Chargers, and then going to Arrowhead. They didn't win, but the experience of going to the big dog playing at Arrowhead Stadium, and not, you know, they gave a good account of themselves. They played a tough mm-hmm. game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's you could, that whole offseason. I talked to Doug Peterson about this. Name dropper.
Yeah, I'm going to pick that up
Bragger.
Real quick.
I talked to Doug Peterson about this at the 101 Awards. You know, as you know, what do you take away from this? What do you take away from now that you've had a, you know, chance to, you know, let the disappointment of that loss kind of let that go and reevaluate what you guys accomplished? And he talked about that. He goes, that's, you know, you can't, there's nothing that can replace that type of experience of having a team like that go to a place like Arrowhead Stadium and play the very best. And then you see, okay, this is how far we are. This is the gap, because that's the best. Because Mahomes is the best, and the Chiefs are the champs.
That's right.
You know, but I mean, do they take another? You know, Calvin Ridley.
I think the Jags take a step this year.
So what's that step?
Yeah.
I mean, how good could they be?
How big of a step? Yeah.
So like I said, we just laid all this out in the AFC. So you know, in honor of Marco's NFL quarterback intro.
That got me excited. That intro, Marco. That was a good one. That's
what I aim for, to make you excited,
up.
Nate.
The best intro this week is when I don't have to tell Marco to include the ring announcer's announcement of the decision, like of a fight or something.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that, even when the decision infuriates me. It gets my juices flowing.
It gets you going.
I'm looking at the primetime games for the upcoming season. You guys talk about
just football.
How QB heavy it is in the AFC. Just Sunday Night Football, 10 of the, I think 16, 17, there's a doubleheader one night. Yeah, week 16 has a doubleheader. Out of the 18 games on Sunday Night Football, 10 of them are between two AFC teams, while 5 are between two NFC teams, and then the rest, of course, include one from each conference. So just again shows you the how dominant the expectations are for the AFC this year with all that glamour.
The marquee matchups are in the AFC. Absolutely. Look, there's some good ones in the NFC. I mean, clearly the best quarterback and the most exciting team to watch in the NFC, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. That they're elite. He's elite. They're elite. That's a Super Bowl contender. After that, like, whatever your opinion is of Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, some people will put him in the top 10 of quarterbacks. Other people won't. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever you say about Dak Prescott, I guess. But, I mean, it's fun to see. Like, I'll sit down. I'd be excited. I like to watch the Eagles and Cowboys. That's a
sure.
good game.
Sure.
Giants, don't care.
The Giants might be headed in the right direction.
Yeah, but I'm not excited to watch Daniel Jones or the Giants.
Right.
Commanders have a horrific quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is not elite. Kirk Cousins is just good enough to break your heart.
He's got a wide receiver that is.
Right. But I'm talking about elite quarterbacks that are legitimate.
Yeah, he's not. Know, he's good. He's solid.
Like the Lions, I think, could end up being a better team than the Vikings, being as like Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I get to watch Jared Goff tonight. Like, do you? That's good. Mm-hmm. Packers. I like Justin Fields a lot. I love watching him. He's super exciting, especially if you have him on your fantasy team. He's not a great quarterback yet. No. He'll run the hell out of the football. Yeah. But I will watch them.
Yeah.
I want to watch him just to see if he develops. He's exciting. And some of his runs, or like the only guy that could, like, you know, that Lamar-esque. He's the only guy that could do that. And so, I mean, he's got upside, but I'll watch him. That's exciting. But Tampa, no. Baker, no.
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
I mean, you've got some young guys, but like, who else? Like, it's just night and day between the AFC and the NFC. Night and day.
I mean, do you think that, oh, what's his butt that the
what's his
the,
butt?
The Panthers, you know, took.
Come on. No.
I'm looking it up.
He's got to learn. No.
I kept wanting to say Bryce Harper, and I knew it wasn't Bryce Harper. Bryce Young. Do you think he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that, boom, right off the bat?
No idea.
I'm not sold on him.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he might become great, but I'm not like, oh, this guy,
I don't know,
can't miss. He's going to wait till you watch him. But if he's one of those young quarterbacks that hits the ground running right away, maybe you have an elite quarterback there. I'm stretching here, you know, on the NFC side to try to find somebody.
You know the quarterback that was drafted that I'm most excited to watch?
From this past draft class?
Yeah. You brought him up.
Dude from Florida?
Yeah. Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Colts.
Yeah.
Of course.
I got to get better with my names instead of just dude from Florida, dude from Alabama. Anthony Richardson.
I want to watch him because I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong.
He's got all the physical tools, right?
That's what they say about Marco. What now?
Can we make a wager, perhaps, over who's going to have a better first year as a quarterback? I like C.J. Stroud a lot. I've been a big fan of his ever since the playoffs.
See, I don't feel strongly enough about either any of these guys to say that this guy's going to have the best first year. I just think, like, I want to watch Richardson because I think he has the chance to be the most exciting, and I think I liked Lamar coming out of the draft, and I campaigned for Lamar, and some people on this radio station ridiculed that and ridiculed me, and I've gotten a kick out of them being dead wrong about it. And I kind of the same thing with Jalen Hurts.
It wasn't me for the record on that one.
But Jalen Hurts was like a second. I love that pick, and people poo-poo that pick. So I do enjoy when people just totally crush a kid before he's been given a chance to succeed, and he goes out and proves everyone wrong. And that's what I'm hoping for with Anthony Richardson, because I think he has a chance to.
I think that so much of it just comes down to where they land. You know, that's the thing for C.J. Stroud that worries me is he's with the Texans, right? That's a terrible organization. Terribly run. No direction.
You don't count on them to do the right thing.
Yeah, and like, what's he going to have around him? And we talk about all the different factors that made Patrick Mahomes great, and Patrick Mahomes' greatness is at the top of the list. But we've also talked about Andy Reid put him in a situation where he had a good offensive line, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, you know, and weapons around him where he could thrive. And you look at Justin Fields, we don't know what he is yet because he got dropped in a pile of poop. Right? No offensive line.
He was having to do everything by himself.
Yeah. And so with these guys, I think that a lot of it comes down to what type of situation do they land in. I'll always wonder what would have happened to Russell Wilson if he had gone to some other organization. He goes to an organization in Seattle that's got a great head coach, an elite defense, an elite running game, and he's able to kind of ease his way into it. And I just wonder what, you know, for these guys, I think a lot of it comes down to that. Who's in the best spot? Who's got a good coach? Who's got some pieces around him?
By the way, the Royals lost. That's what we haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
6-4.
Lamar Jackson. How many teams would have tried to force Lamar Jackson to become a different type of quarterback? But he goes to the Ravens, and they say, look what he's great at. Let's let him do what he's great at, and then we'll build out from there. A lot of organizations wouldn't do that. He ended up in a perfect spot. And so, man, landing spot matters so much for these young quarterbacks, and we'll find out.
Today on the show, we'll talk to Buster Olney from ESPN about baseball. We'll have Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman in studio to talk football. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star is also going to be here. What else?
I got a little surprise. Not surprise. We know it's coming, but we got a treat coming this way.
Do you know that
way.
For sure?
I mean, it's been confirmed via email, via
who?
Multiple messages. My buddy Tim Hare.
Who on this end has confirmed?
Well, Marco and Luke have been in cahoots over this whole deal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They've been emailing back
and
forth.
Cahooting.
They've been confirming things.
Confidence level low.
Well, my confidence level is in Tim Hare from Greengrass Cattle Company. By the way, when I went up there a couple weeks ago, we had a lot of people stop by. We got a lot of listeners in the Weston area, which is nice to know. So, hey, everybody up there. But Tim's coming
Weston
by.
Weston is the best.
I know that you like quality beef, yeah. Stephen.
That's only going to be
He's going to be making a steak and eggs this morning.
Right on.
From Green Gas Cattle Company, and it's going to be delicious.
Well, what time is that going to be, by the way?
I think around 8 o'clock, right, Marco?
Yeah, and I just got confirmed from Luke, 8 o'clock.
Make sure that we keep... I feel like I need to extend some sort of peace offering to Garrick Dieter.
Why?
For multiple things that have been said by me.
Don't let people bully you. Don't let his text bully you.
He does kind of bully me. He tries to bully me, doesn't mm-hmm. he? All right.
You stand up for what you believe in.
Well, I do believe that we're not going to talk a lot of Yankees around here.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean he needs to move to New York. There's other ways he can get his information.
The internet, you know? Maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So we'll talk to all those people. And we got sound, dude. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. You like that? Makes you happy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Dude, like I listened like to that clip of Mahomes over and over again. All these other franchises have to deal with drama and have to deal with quarterbacks focus on the wrong things. It's just, I almost feel like that was like this big F you to the rest of the league. Like, you think I'm distracted? You think I'm worried about my contract? No, I'm worried about legacy. I'm worried about winning championships, you mofos. Your quarterback's distracted. Your quarterback's worried about dollar signs. I'm worried about rings. Ring-a-ding-ding-ding-ding-a-ding-ding.
Hello.
I'd be so pissed off if I was a fan of another team, but I'd be happy if I was a fan of the Chiefs. So that means I'm happy. Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Rest in peace, Tina Turner, who passed away at the age of 83. Great tributes on Twitter from the biggest stars in entertainment. All paying tribute to Tina Turner. Shockingly, this one caught my eye, Nate, from Priscilla Presley.
Mm.
Tina Turner was one of Elvis's favorite performers. When she took the stage, she said it was pure magic. I remember how she held an audience with an energy that was undeniably pure. She's left a remarkable legacy and will be sorely missed by all. There was, I think I retweeted one of them from John Fogerty. You John Fogerty fan? You like?
Well, he wrote this song.
Creedence Clearwater
yeah,
Revival.
Hell yeah. Heck yeah.
I don't trust people that don't like CCR.
Man, how could you not love CCR?
Marco?
So, my first car had a 6-disc switcher. I don't know how you guys would say it.
Changer?
Thank you. All right. I had a 6-disc changer.
How you guys would say it. That's what it's called.
Well, I don't know what it's called.
You old farts.
Yeah. All right.
I think the car was from the 90s. On one of those CDs on rotation, I had the best of Creedence Clearwater Revival, man.
Yeah.
Now, I just stole some CDs from my dad's collection because I needed CDs for my car because I didn't have an aux cord or an aux port for my aux cord for my phone. And so I had that one on the rotation and I always played it every time because it's just a hit after hit.
John Fogerty tweeted, so deeply sad to hear about Tina Turner's passing. I loved her version of Proud Mary. Mm. It was different and fantastic. I was also so happy because she chose my song and it was her breakthrough record. I was so honored. I'm also grateful I was on stage with her playing Proud Mary. Keep rolling on the river. Rest in peace, Tina. John Fogerty.
That is one of the things that's so great about this remake is how different it is from the original. You know, sometimes people remake a song and it sounds just like the first one. Totally different interpretation of the song, and it's awesome. Both
Mick
of them
Jagger
are awesome.
Tweeted, I'm so saddened by the passing of my wonderful friend Tina Turner. She was truly an enormously talented performer and singer. She was inspiring, warm, funny, and generous. She helped me so much when I was young, and I will never forget her. It's like when the biggest stars in the world are paying tribute to her, and they talk about her being one of their favorite performers. You can't get more iconic or more legendary than Tina Turner. So listen to some Tina Turner while you're driving around today.
I'm going to send you a great article a buddy of mine sent me about her return to music and some of the artists that kind of helped bring her back, like David Bowie. It's known how much you love the history of music and people like that.
She has four of the top five songs on iTunes U.S. song charts right now, so we have to play these songs, all right?
Can I guess?
Sure. What for?
Simply the Best.
Yes.
We Don't Need Another Hero.
Yes.
Now I'm going to struggle after that. Rolling on, I'm in this one.
Yes.
Proud Mary.
This would be her most, probably, with people our age, her most popular song, and I believe her biopic was...
So stupid, I'm blanking on it right now.
This is the one you can't miss. It's number one.
I know, and I'm missing it.
Proud Mary's two. The Best is number three. Number five is We Don't Need Another Hero.
It's going to smack me in the face as soon as you say it. I'm going to feel stupid.
I'm going to come smack you in the face if you don't get it right.
You're going to feel ridiculous.
Yeah.
Shame. You'll feel shame.
I feel shame.
Marco, what is it?
What's Love Got to Do With It?
Oh, God.
How do you miss that?
So stupid. That's too early.
You were doing really well.
I know. It was I was three for four, though.
No, but you're sprouting some Tina Turner knowledge and everything else, and then you just, you know.
Yeah. What's Love Got to Do With It? But a secondhand emotion. My wife and I saw Tina Turner on her 50-year anniversary tour at Sprint Center 2008. I just looked it up. I couldn't remember how long ago it was.
Susan
was
at
incredible.
That concert. So.
She was still great.
Rest in peace, Tina Turner. Yeah. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. To the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, May 25th, 2023. We'll play Tina Turner music all day long. Thank you. It's called Hitting the Post, by the way. Ted Edwards told me that.
Just, you know, just to talk right up to the time they start singing.
That's your time in FM radio.
Some of the most enjoyable time that I've ever had, wanting to fight someone every day. So, you're lucky that Marco's busy cutting up Chief Sound, because I was going to have him try to make enough edits to the Kwame Brown rant on LeBron James. We're going to play that, but there's just too many. I was going to tweet that out on our bizarre text chain. Who's on this chain? Me, you, Jeff Chedia, Beasler.
Beasler's on it?
Is it? Yeah, I thought so.
Is he? Oh, boy. I don't know. I can't keep track of all the taunting I've gotten from Chedia over the past 3 weeks about this LeBron Jordan thing.
Oh, so listen to this text thread. Chedia, Jake, for some reason, is involved in this. Nate, Matt Beasler, and me. And it's all, it's like 99% Chedia just attacking Nate about LeBron James. And no one else is even commenting. It's just like he wants to publicly attack him in front of us, in front of our, you know.
I've been pretty good about not responding, haven't I?
But I'm gonna send you guys the Kwame Brown
rant.
Because I think that'll...
I think
that'll strike up some conversation.
Usually I feel like when somebody starts some kind of argument on in any one of our text threads that you and I are on, if I start arguing back and forth, I feel like usually you're like, please let me exit the chat. Leave me alone.
Just to be on this one, I might.
I feel like I'm always annoying you when I do that. So I've been staying away.
No, you don't.
I haven't been arguing back.
Chedina's the instigator.
You know, I've just been biting my tongue and not, you know, just taking the abuse.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes, who spoke to the media yesterday. I've always got time to hear from Patrick Mahomes. Todd Lebo.
He was everywhere yesterday, man. He was Royals postgame.
Quit kissing up. Todd Lebo was asking Patrick Mahomes about the possibility of a new contract.
Yeah, I mean, I always keep, me and my agent and the team always keep
open communication. And we try to do whatever is the best for the team, but obviously I want to do the best for myself as well. But at the same time, I've always said I worry about legacy and winning rings more than making money at this moment.
Boom!
I know we keep communication. We see what's going on around the league. But at the same time, I'll never do anything that's going to hurt us from keeping the great players around me. So it's kind of teetering around that line.
So you're not driven to be the highest paid quarterback average per year. I mean, that's not.
No. It's more of a, you just want to do whatever to not hurt other quarterbacks whenever their contracts come up. You want to kind of keep the bar pushing. It's not about being the highest paid guy. It's not about making a ton of money. I've made enough money where I'll be set for the rest of my life. But at the same time, you got to find that line where you're making a good amount of money, but you're still keeping a lot of great players around you so you can win these Super Bowls and you're able to compete in these games.
Is that a hard line to walk?
Yeah, it is. I think it is for all these guys. I think you see the guys that are getting paid this last offseason. They're trying to find that right spot. Everybody wants to get paid a lot of money. And whenever they think they're the best at their craft, they want to get paid like that. But at the same time, if you look at the greats in the league, I mean, they find that right spot where they're getting paid a lot of money, but at the same time keeping a lot of these great players around me. And so I understand you look at the team and, you know, you got guys like Chris and Snead and even Travis, all these guys that you need to keep around you to have these great teams. But at the same time, you want to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So we have open communication. I think that's the biggest thing. And you see that from Clark. You see that from Coach Reed. You see that from Veach and everybody. We just try to make sure that we have the best team on that football field and everybody gets what they deserve.
That's right. And I played this song for two reasons. Number one, because we continue to honor the memory of Tina Turner and her wonderful music. And this is a beautiful song that I love very much. But it also is meaningful because it describes Patrick Mahomes because he is simply the best.
Yep.
With what he says on the microphone, with what he does on the football field. And there's nothing that anyone else in any other NFL city can do about it. And so you're going to have to sit and take your medicine, Denver. You dished it out for a number of years with John Elway and Peyton Manning. You dished it out, but now you got to take it. You got to swallow that bitter pill twice a year. Can't be three times a year because you'd have to make the playoffs for that, but you're not going to do that. So let's hear Tina Turner sing it by Patrick Mahomes. Mm. Crank it! Oh, this is a great song. Remember when this used to be the theme for HBO for some reason?
Well, because HBO was the best.
And they showed highlights of Mike Tyson. It was when Mike Tyson was at his peak. Great song.
Wonderful song. Connell McCourt struggles hearing this song. His team's arch rival.
I make love to this song.
Oh, man, it's a great... Yeah, what a wonderful song to make love to.
What the hell's wrong with me?
Nothing. Nothing.
What's love got to do with this song, yeah, guys?
Look at Patrick Mahomes.
So why does Connell not like this?
Well, this is maybe one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports. His team, Celtic, in Glasgow. They're arch rival Rangers. They sing this song at the top of their lungs at kickoff. The whole stadium, 60,000 people singing this song. Yeah, you roll your eyes at it, it's cool. It's a powerful moment here to 60,000 people sing a song like this. Whatever.
No, you forced the greatest rivalry in all sports on this. Don't force that.
I said one of. Don't force one, it. One of.
You catch me listening to this song. It's a
great,
great song,
man.
You know, we should do that.
No.
You're not
giving up here.
We're going to do a segment on TV from now on once a week where you just watch me listen to my favorite songs.
You get lost in the music. This is a saxophone solo. You don't get enough of those in modern music.
Old guy dad head nod right here.
Yeah. with the overbite.
Hey,
yeah. The rock and roll overbite.
Yeah, look. Then the finger guns.
Yeah. Woo!
All right.
Well, this is dedicated to Patrick Mahomes. You know, I like that.
He don't want more money. He wants legacy. He wants rings. He wants championships. He wants his teammates to get paid. Oh, AFC, you should already know you're in trouble. And it ain't gonna stop anytime soon. But this song is, so we'll take a break. Back at this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.